Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Kira.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
All right, coming up over the next hour, we'll hear from Marie Ryan O'Brien, the founder of the adoption advocacy group Ahantis. She was with us on the programme yesterday, making that powerful, powerful contribution regarding the murder of Aisling Murphy. We'll also hear an excerpt from yesterday's interview with broadcaster, scriptwriter, playwright and presenter Keith Walsh, who spoke to Kira on the Kildare Focus programme about his outrage at not just this killing, but the whole attitude amongst men in Irish society, calling for a change from that. That full interview is online, by the way, as is Maria Ryan O'Brien's interview from yesterday as well. You can get it on our website or you can get it on our Twitter at KFM Radio. But we'll have an excerpt from Keith's speech. We'll also hear from Councillor Bill Clear, who has assessed the lighting situation around Naas in light of the current tragedy and also some issues he brought to the recent meeting. And of course, a huge weekend for Kildare, Kilcullen footballers tomorrow in the Leinster final, Naas hurlers in the Leinster final on Sunday, and Kildare hurlers beginning their Keogh Cup campaign also on Sunday. But first, that's the Rag and Bone Man, he calls himself. But when I saw that title, it reminded me that as a child, the Ragman used to call around the estate. And we as kids would run in home, Mammy, can I have something for the Ragman? Now, what he was collecting was clothing. I suppose anything else he could get, but mainly clothing. I suppose he was a 60s version of those charities, so-called bogus charities, most of them, which leave plastic bags outside your door looking for your clothing. We have the charity shops, the bona fide charity shops these days, into which you can drop your clothing, and that's always preferable. Don't ever leave a bag outside your door, because many of these are commercial concerns flogging it elsewhere in Europe, the clothes that you leave out. But yeah, and Mam used to say to us, get out, I've hardly enough clothes to put on all of you, without giving it to the ragman. But you'd always get something, a pair of socks or whatever, and you'd race out to the ragman, and out of the back of the truck, he'd throw you a balloon, or some kind of a pea shooter, or something small. There were trinkets, tokens, but there were great memories. It was our huge thrill to bring something to the ragman, and get this little toy that was probably cost a penny. It just shows the difference in expectation between generations and the present day. But how many of you remember the ragman? And that's prompted one of our listeners, by the way, to say, why are Kilcullen GAA called the Rags? And that's something, actually, I've never asked. So both the ragman, used the ragman come around your place, wherever you live in Kildare or the surrounding counties? And why are Kilcullen GAA called the Rags? We'll find out more about that. And don't forget now, we're going to have a full list of where all the vigils are going on for Aisling, the late Aisling Murphy, around County Kildare. They're going on everywhere in the country, but we'll have a list for you before we go off air at 11 o'clock. Kira is compiling that. I just wonder, for example, whether Marie Ryan O'Brien, you ever recall, actually you're probably not old enough at all to as I am, in terms of, did you ever hear of the ragman, Marie? And you're welcome back to the programme.
Hi, Clem. I have to say, no, I didn't. No.
Right, okay. That just proves you're not as old as Clem at all. You did not. Indeed. Look, once again, thank you for your contribution on the programme yesterday. It made such a mark. We got loads and loads and loads of messages about how eloquently you spoke about the late Aisling Murphy, and on the broader perspective, the term of society has got to change. And we have a very good contribution coming up in the afternoon programme, Kildare Focus, with Kira Noble yesterday. Broadcaster and playwright Keith Walsh spoke on the programme equally eloquently, but he was outraged and angered about the attitudes of men in society and how we men have got to change and not all the time be asking women for the answers. Now, we brought you on today specifically to talk about what you were to come on yesterday, and I know how stunned your community is this morning in Durrow, and in particular where Aisling taught and where you live yourself, and throughout County Offaly and Tullamore in particular. And we certainly will mark that. We are marking it here in Kildare. But you are a founding member of the group Ahantis, which advocates on behalf of adoption. And we discussed this topic on the programme yesterday, and we were to discuss it with yourself. But it was superseded in the light of the events. You're sharing Adoption Alliance Ireland's reservations about this new information and tracing legislation. Marie, why?
Well, I always like to start with a positive focus on things, and I think that one of the things that we can take away that's a positive focus is that we were very privileged as a group to be allowed to appear twice before the Joint Roxas Committee and make contributions to the pre-legislative scrutiny on this bill. And one of the things we specifically sought was a review period. Now, I'm happy to say that the review period is actually included in the bill, which means that it isn't a case that when the bill is passed, it's done, dusted, and there's a line drawn under it. What it means and what we ask for was a review period within a set period of time, so that when there are issues with it, we can go back and address these issues, because it's only really within the working of legislation that issues become apparent. But, I mean, we were given a four-year review. We looked for a two- or three-year review, so we'll revisit that during when the bill comes back to the Dáil. We have a few reservations with it. Obviously, the one that everybody seems to agree on is the mandatory information session, which was something that the Joint Roxas Committee had highlighted also. And
just
had
to explain that to listeners, if I would, that this was a requirement originally that an adopted person would have to sit down with a social worker whom they would never have met before to be told the obvious, that the natural, if we use the term, and I know there's questions that were raised by Susan in regards to the use of the word mother, birth mother, natural mother, everything else, to be told as to whether they could or could not contact their natural parents.
Indeed, yeah. Now, that was watered down originally from what it was in the draft legislation or the heads of bill, where it was to be an in-person information session with a social worker, to being watered down to something that can be conducted either by phone call or by video call. But the point is that that still takes somebody's time out of somebody else's day for them to have to sit to be told the privacy rights of somebody else, which we think is completely unnecessary. And a number of political commentators have also touched on this as well, like Ivana Bacik and Kathleen Funchin, who was the chairperson of the Joint Roxas Committee as well, because they had recommended that that be removed. So we'd be looking for that to be removed, because there is no justification for feeling that just because somebody's adopted that they have to have privacy rights explained to them. It's not really what we would expect in a modern equal society that that should happen. But there are also issues with when it comes to information in the bill, because obviously the whole tenor of the bill is to supply information to people, to give them information pertinent to them, be it their biological mother's name, their biological father's name. And I know we touched on terminology as well, and I would have reservations about the terminology used in the bill, because it's legally imprecise. And I thought that the term birth mother actually sat quite well in the context of a birth information bill. And I understand that there are groups who feel that it's a reductive term, but it's something that we know from our research, having conducted it with adoptees, and I think it was almost 300 adoptees favoured that term, as opposed to natural or first or whatever, because it's a factual term. And the point of it was that it was a mother who has given birth but has some rare child. So we feel that that needs further qualification, because in law we are actually our adoptive mother and father are our mother and father legally. So we have something now that's at odds with that. And whether or not might not be referenced to adoptive parents in this specific bill, there will be other bills, and this sets a precedent that I think it creates a legal grey area. So we need to look at that a little bit more. As regards the supplying of information, the aspirations of the bill are actually quite noble, in the sense that they intend to give as much information as possible. Now, we'd say it isn't everything, and there should be more information given. But where we're going to hit a rock, literally, is that we're looking at files from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, some of them from the 80s. In many instances, this information is not there. So, for example, if somebody comes looking for who their biological father is, 9 times out of 10, the name is not in the file. So what are we going to do to be able to kind of supply this information? So there's an expectation, and then there's a gap of like what is factually contained in the file. And we have to find a way to meet those expectations of people who rightly want to know who their biological mother is, who their biological father is, information about their health. And another criticism we would have of the bill is this releasing of medical information to a doctor. I mean, why can't we have the information ourselves? It's about us. I mean, we might not necessarily want to give it to a doctor. We might not necessarily want to pass it on. Or we may be seeing another doctor. So it makes more sense that the information resides with us rather than with the medical practitioner.
But nevertheless, Marie, and notwithstanding, of course, are minimising whatsoever your reservations or the Adoption Alliance of Ireland, it is considerable progress, would you accept?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we agreed with that, absolutely, with that stuff you, Kem, and we stated that it was a sea change in legislative policy, which for decades, I mean, we are light years behind other European countries, and nothing has happened on this for the last 20 to 30 years. There's been no progress. I mean, the current legislation that applies to adoptees while they're accessing information is mostly from 1952. So, I mean, it's massive, massive progress. And I have to be very fair when I say that Minister Gorman has been very, very fair to us as regards the input he allowed us. He took on board and stated during his statement regarding the research that we had done around the terms birth mother, natural mother, and so on and so forth. And while I wouldn't necessarily agree with the end product, I know that there's going to be active discussion about it. And even if we don't get everything we want this time, we still have a review period that we're going to look to shorten as well. And that was something that we sought and we looked for and we got. So there is give, and we do have support from say most of the points that would have been picked up by the Joint Oireachtas Committee would have been in favour of more information, no information session and so forth. So we have to keep pushing these things. And it's very important that people who are affected by this, who are themselves adoptees or the families of adoptees, engage with it and either contact us or contact their TD or contact the Minister's office and outline these concerns, because we have to let people know how we feel, what we think, what is fair. And like, just, you know, I know there was a discussion about like the term natural mother versus birth mother. But, I mean, we also have to be fair to women who found themselves in a situation that they didn't want to be mothers, be, you know, from their personal circumstances where they were raped and found themselves pregnant as a result of it and ended up getting the child up for adoption. They did not want to be mothers, and they don't want to be termed mothers. So we have to be mindful of everybody's view on this and try and find what we would have felt would have been fair, was to try and find inclusive terminology that reflected everybody's point of view. Like, we were not saying that birth mother is, like, you know, that is absolutely the term that has to be used. We were open to kind of, you know, fluidity around it, but we need to find a new terminology that's reflective of everybody's view. And we don't know what everybody's view is until people start talking and sharing, and that's what they need to do.
Marie's organisation, AHANTAS, deals with adoptee identity and advocacy group. I'm just reading from the website, with an adoptee-led focus, formed in 2018 to advocate for reform and equality for Irish adoptees. AHANTAS's core policy is people before paper, putting adoptee welfare at the forefront of legislation and supports. AHANTAS research charts the social harm and the intergenerational aspect of forced and coercive adoption through the closed adoption process in Ireland. And if you want to read more about the group AHANTAS, which is the Irish word, which I translate loosely as recognition of their rights, of their status, of their humanness, if I might coin that word, the website is adopteerights.ie. That's A-D-O-P-T-E-E. adopteerights.ie. And once again, Marie Ryan O'Brien, thank you so much for giving us the amount of time you've given us over the last 2 days.
Not at all. It's a pleasure as always.
Thank you indeed, Marie.
Okay. God bless.
And God bless. And after the break, we're going to be speaking with our hearing from Keith Walsh about his view on how men must we, men, must change our views in regards to women and how we as a society must change as well. All of that is on the way.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, you're very welcome back. Now, before we head to the Keith Walsh segment from yesterday afternoon's Kildare Focus, just to catch up on some of your messages. A listener in Newbridge tells us that there's a candlelight vigil for Aisling Murphy in Newbridge Liffey Linear Park at 4 o'clock today. That's at the same time as the one in Oris Kildara for councillors. Shamie Moore was to get back to us. Shamie, if you're listening, in regards to whether the public can go to the one at Oris Kildara or not. Owen, have you a quick word on that?
Yes, so Shamie got in contact with Vice Cathaoirleach of NACE MD, Evie Salmon, who then gave me a call. So essentially, the one at Oris Kildara is mainly just for councillors, and it's not to say that the public can't go, but just right. It was organised for the councillors. Now, that said, there is a public vigil being held at the harbour in NACE at 6 o'clock, which is more or less directly across from Oris Kildara, and people can go to that one. Now, myself and Ciara, we're compiling a full list of vigils around the county, and we'll go through those just before 11.
All right, thanks for that one. Gerard May, how are you doing, Gerard? Regards to Nuala and family. He says the name and picture of the missing man is all over social media. I know, Gerard, but we operate on the basis that we don't take stuff off social media in our news bulletins. We wait for official confirmation from An Garda Síochána, and they have not officially released the name of that missing man. I know all the circumstances behind it, but out of sensitivity to the family, that's why we don't give details that might be circulating on social media in regards to that. Okay, we'll have that full list. Catch up on some of your messages quickly then. Clem, instead of everyone having vigils for Aisling, they should be telling the Minister for Justice that this kind of violent crime can no longer be tolerated, nor should it be allowed to happen to anyone else. Sadly, it will happen again as our laws are too soft. We have a very weak and ineffective police force. Well, I think that's very unfair to An Garda Síochána. Their job is just to implement the existing law. The judiciary that doesn't impose severe enough sentences. Point. Yes. I mean, people out in bail, those two guys that beat the living daylights out of that poor little girl in Dublin last week, she's not a little girl, teenager, that she could lose her eye, they were let out in bail. Can you believe that? These guys should be off our streets, is my view. Life should mean life for most evil crimes. There needs to be more severe consequences for such evil and cowardly crimes. And does anyone believe that we live in a safe society in Ireland, says this listener? We certainly don't, and proper justice doesn't exist either. Back to the ragman. Yes, I remember the ragman in Nace. He took jam jars too, did he? And the so-called tinker man used to mend pots and umbrellas. Yes, I remember the so-called, as they were addressed, and tinker. Nowadays, they'd be called travellers. And yeah, he'd call around. And I remember one particular who called to the village where I was living, and with my granny and granddad, and he had a bike. And he had kind of a sharpening wheel on the handlebars of the bike. And he'd sharpen knives for you. And he'd put little metal things into the bottom of metal basins if they were leaking. You didn't throw it out and go and get a new basin. You put a thing like a washer on it. And he'd come around, the tinker man. Yeah. Affectionate times, and they were always made very welcome, by the way. Not abused and whatever else. Like, and the ragman. Never knew there was a ragman in Nace. Clem, we had the ragman coming into our estate in a small van, and we were all so excited when he arrived. This is Teresa in Selbridge. Can't remember what we would get, but it was like a treasure to us. Yes, it was. I love to hear about those memories. It was a treasure. You might get a bloody balloon. And it was a treasure. Oh, yes, how we appreciated stuff. Not like the current generation. They all spoiled, used to too much. The hand all was out. I want more. Give me more. Clem, well done, says another listener. I had forgotten all about the ragman, and I can tell you there were times I was nearly killed over him. I had 8 brothers. I know what's coming now. And I'm the youngest, and I often have the ragged man good clothes belong to them just to get a toy. Yes, when they'd be going to a dance at the weekend, they'd find their best shirt was gone, and I'd be gone too. I'd be hiding somewhere. And there were great times. On a slightly different note, I have 5 brothers and 5 sisters, okay? and one sister who died as a baby, and we always acknowledge Breed. And yeah, I remember my mam, in days when there wasn't a washing machine, would send the bag of washing off to the laundromat down the town. And one of my brothers was tasked with going, delivering the big bag of laundry, which was the entire clothing of the Ryan household, and then collecting it later. Unfortunately, my brother, whom we shall call Pat, because that was his name, I doubt if he's listening, he's living in Germany now. Pat, on the way home with the entire bag of clothing for the entire family, including my father and mother, and my father didn't have the longest temper that you ever met, he came across a soccer match going on in what we call the market. He decided to put down the bag of clothes and play in the soccer match, kicking around the ball around the street. Problem was, the dust truck, as we called it then, now they call it the garbage collection service, came by, figured the bag was left out for collection, threw it in the truck, and off it went to the dump in Cora, in Dura, the main County Clare dump, now called a waste management facility. Can I just, or can you just begin to imagine the shock, horror, tears in the Ryan household on a Saturday evening when everyone found not just the five boys, but the five girls and my father's good shirts for his night out for his pint of Guinness on a Saturday night were all gone to the Clare County Council dump. Now, that's a memory. Can laugh about it now. We nearly killed him. How could we go out on our dates on the Saturday night, you know, with the shirts from last week? Clem, we'll have all those vigils later from Kira. Clem, was it the rag man or was it actually the rag and bone man? No, it was the rag man. That's just to call her onto the houses, okay? Yes, we used to call him Jam Jar Burn. He'd collect glass and clothes. Jam Jar Burn, Mary Donnelly. I don't ever remember my guy collecting jars, but anyway. Clem, the rag man used to be in a tie as well. Okay. Lovely, isn't it? Just a bit of levity and the memories. Yeah, that brings back memory of my brother Pat. He survived the hammering we all gave him. We nearly killed him. My father went around the house distraught. He was in his work clothes. His only good shirt was below in the Clare County Council dump. Get down and find that bag. I won't tell you any more about it. But anyway, that was it. Okay, I want to move on to the item Kildare Focus programme yesterday afternoon, following that amazing contribution by Marie Ryan O'Brien on Kildare Today yesterday morning regarding the tragedy of the killing of Aisling. And so many other women, as I told you this morning, 209 women have been killed in this country in the last 20, 30 years. Did we have the sense of outrage then? We did. Did we do anything about it? No, we didn't. Yesterday afternoon, former broadcaster with RTE, and indeed still broadcasting, has a good podcast too, I might say. He's also a playwright that tours the country with it. He lives in Newbridge. His name is Keith Walsh. And he had this to tell Kieran Noble on yesterday afternoon's Kildare Focus between 2 and 3.
Why are men scared of just for once shutting up and listening? Listening to our daughters, listening to our wives, listening to our mothers, listening to our cousins, our nieces, listening to what they're saying. They don't feel safe when they go outside. When they're walking to their car, they carry keys in their hands in a way that, in between their fingers, so they can use it as a weapon, because they don't feel safe on the streets on their own. We had excuses before for attacks, and I have to be very clear in what I'm saying this. I don't think these are excuses, but men used to hide behind excuses, and I'm saying men, and I'm including myself in this as well. I need to, as much as anybody, start listening now. We had the excuses before when terrible things like this happened. We could say, oh, it was late at night. She shouldn't have been going there. She shouldn't have been wearing that. She shouldn't have drank that much. She shouldn't have, she shouldn't have, she shouldn't have. Well, we've no excuses to hide behind this time, because this was broad daylight. She was going for a run. There was no drink involved. It's all on him. It's all on the man. We need to stop looking at the women involved in these situations and start looking at the men involved in these situations. And we need to stop arguing, we need to stop talking, and we need to start listening and asking the question. I don't know. I don't know what the answers are. I don't know what women are going through. I live in a world where I feel okay to go for a run. I can say to my wife at 10:30 at night, I'm going for a run. My wife came home from a walk and it was getting dark and she felt scared. This is the reality we're living in. This is not, it's not okay. We know this in our hearts as men. We know we won't let our relations, our female relations, go anywhere, do anything, because we know it's dangerous. But yet when it's put to us, we argue and we make excuses and we say, but not all men. Well, maybe it's not all men that are carrying out the terrible atrocities, but there's a lot of men out there who are involved in creating this atmosphere for women, and women don't know who it's going to be. So if there's somebody, it could be me walking towards a woman, they don't know that I'm not going to attack them, because that's the society we have created, and men are very much a part of that. We as men in this country need to look at ourselves and stop leaving it up to the women to do the work, to make the noise. We need to talk to each other and point the finger and see and check ourselves. That's what we need to be doing. Listening and learning.
Broadcaster, playwright Keith Walsh from Newbridge. It's what was an extremely powerful interview. That's just 2 minutes out of about 6-7 minutes. And that whole interview is up on our website. And I urge you to listen to it. Because as powerful as Marie Ryan O'Brien was yesterday, he was as powerful again in the afternoon from the perspective of men. I don't need to comment on that. It's addressed to every single one of us and applicable to every single one of us men. Not to be all the time, you know, relying on that not all men kind of idea. And it brings home to us, as Keith has done there, the absolute vulnerability of women. I mean, he made a very good point there. He can go for a run at 10:30 at night. Nobody would ever say, you know, be careful out there or whatever else. A woman can't do that. No man walking along during the course of a day or evening would be worried about the person coming towards them in the way women would be. And now with that heightened sense of vulnerability. So we all need to get our act together. Our legislators need to get our act together. And the people who talked about our courts being too lenient need to get their act together. Society needs to change. Kira, well done on that interview yesterday afternoon. It was a powerful programme that you had, Kildare Focus 2 to 3, which Kira presents Monday to Friday, and that interview was riveting. So well done on that. You have a list, Kira, of where vigils are going on around the county this evening.
Yeah, we know that vigil is being held for councillors at Oras Kildare at 4 today, Friday, just some that the wider public can attend. So there's a candlelit vigil at 4 at the Liffey Linear Park in Newbridge, Maynooth Square at 4, Market Square in Blessington at 4, Clane Church at 4, Lock 27, that's along the Canal Bank in Athy under the Swan Mural at 4 in Athy, in Leakslip at the Fountain opposite Spar, that's from 4, the Candlelit Vigil at Dun Aolnia Monument in Kilcullen, that's at 4:30, the Square in Kildare Town, also at 4:30, that vigil. From 6, a vigil will be held in Kilmeag, where the Christmas tree was. Clane Athletic Club Track will hold a vigil. That's also at 6. The Harbour in Naas is at 6. A vigil will take place in Kilcock at 6. It begins along the canal bank from the park run start to Allen Bridge, finishing at the ramp onto the OR 148 Main Road. From 6:30 at the walking tracks in Ballyteague, a vigil will be held. At 7 in Salins on the Millbank side of the bridge. Kilchurch also at 7. And Carberry GAA at 7 also. And of course, any more, please do keep in contact us, in contact with us this morning, so we can update that and get that out to people.
All right, well done on that, Kira. Thank you. And remember, Kildare Focus this afternoon. Kira, you might remind us later, or Owen will remind us of some of the topics you'll be covering on this afternoon's programme. Now, the Rags. Why are Kilcullen Football GAA Club called the Rags? I still haven't got any definition of that, other than another listener saying, I remember the Ragman and many a mother having to run after him to get an overcoat back that one of the kids would have taken to give him away. It's just so delightful to know that that this wasn't just particular to a particular place, that it was widespread around the country. Ah, as Dean Martin would say, memories are made of this. Up next, we're looking at some memories we hope will be made at the weekend in the hurling and football front.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Just one thought occurred to me in regards to the ragman, by the way. Did the ragman only call around to what they now call local authority areas, council estates? Did they go into any of the rich areas where Tommy Callaghan lived, I wonder, in terms of that? Tommy Callaghan, did you ever hear of the ragman?
I most certainly did.
And you were living in a rich area, so he went to the rich areas too.
Yeah, the rich areas around Our Lady's Place and they have come where I was
there. Right, and did you run out with your father's shirt and your mother's good blouse or whatever, Tommy, to get that colour balloon?
Whatever I could get my hands on. Ties for rags is what the lad driving the van used to shout and roar.
What did he say?
Ties for rags.
Toys for rags. Yeah. Yeah, I never got anything like a toy from him. You would get a little balloon or something else. Yeah, right. Okay, on that, Tommy, we've been asking here how the rags got their name. And Owen, yeah, in Kilcullen GA, seeing that we were talking about the ragman. Owen, you have a story in regards to how a Kilcullen footballer, a GA club, is called, nicknamed the Rags.
Yeah, I believe it's on the Kilcullen website. And I was also checking in with Ger McNally, of course, their sports commentator, but he is in fact a Kilcullen resident as well, and apparently the famous nickname of the Rags can be traced back to an occasion when Kilcullen played a smartly dressed Dublin champions team, Isles of the Sea, and that team were very critical of Kilcullen's attire, or so the story as is told. So it traces the whole way back to then, from that specific game, and Kilcullen have been called the Rags ever since.
Yeah, it's typical of those old snob Dublin teams, isn't it?
The old City Slickers
that they'd be coming up from the country. But Tommy, a brief word first. Here's what Glenn Ryan had to say about last night's game. 4-19 to a 1-10 win for Kildare over Carlow.
Every day we try to improve. We'll improve some days, other days we mightn't, but it's important today is that we don't. We stay competitive and bring some level of consistency along with what we're trying to do, you know? There's no comparison with playing a competitive game this evening to trying to play a challenge match. No comparison. You know, fellas have to get themselves right and have to prepare properly. You know, they're under a spotlight, they're in a competitive environment. So these competitive games are hugely important. And a lot of fellas have worked very, very hard to get an opportunity, and it's great that they can get that opportunity in that competitive environment.
Two goals for Davy O'Neill of Round Towers, which is two more the Ger remarked on commentary than Peter McConnon ever scored for the county, our co-commentator. And the other two goals were by Kevin O'Callaghan, wasn't it, Tommy?
Kevin Flynn,
I beg your pardon, Selbridge, yeah. Now, other than what Glenn said there about that game last night, the only benefit being that it can be described as a competitive game. What did you make of it?
Look, Clem, it was probably less competitive than the match last week against Westmeath. Kildare were dominating last night all over the pitch. But as Glenn said, look, it was a good workout. But the one worry you'd have is that Kildare need a real tough game now. They're in a semi-final, I think, next Wednesday. The opponents won't be known until after the weekend. And hopefully, if they can win that, they'll get into an O'Byrne Cup final. And hopefully, again, that might be against Dublin. And that would be an ideal game the week before they play Kerry.
Yeah, well, aren't Meath one of the three counties as well left in it? Meath, Wicklow and Laois.
Yeah, Meath were beaten, I think, last weekend. But the previous, I think they had a walkover. It was a match postponed.
That's the game against Wicklow was deferred due to COVID.
To be played, and I don't know where that's going to be played. If the semi final is fixed for next Wednesday, and the final fixed for the following weekend.
Actually,
fixed it. Of course, maybe the results on at the weekend might might make that game immaterial anyway. You know
all right,
I mean?
Okay. We'll see on that anyway as Glenn Ryan and the lads continue their experiment. So I suppose on to the real action then tomorrow afternoon, where we'll hear from Kilcullen going to action at Clonbillogue from Offaly. Here's Kilcullen manager Brian McGrogan speaking after their semi-final win against the club with four names.
If you go to all my interviews, I'll say to it, it's never about this team, it's about the panel we have this year. And that's what's got us over the line from the very first league game to now. It's about the panel that we know. It doesn't matter who starts and we call them finishers coming in. We know they're going to do a job for us. And there's your proof in the pudding again. Them lads have got us into a Leinster final. Overall, listen, I couldn't be proud of more of these lads. And I say, for the Kildare supporters and who came and the Kilcullen supporters, it's just bringing, with everything what's going on, it's just bringing a bit of a joy to kind of the community and the village. So now we can look forward to a Leinster final. All I want to do is get everybody behind us now.
And that was against the Westmeath club called Castletown Finney, and there's a couple of other names in there as well. Tommy, what do you make of their prospects tomorrow? They've done well all through, pulled it out of the fire on occasion, had some difficult moments against Grange in the quarter final, but of course, and what do we know about Clonbillogue even?
Well, Clonbillogue, we probably don't know a whole lot about them, even though they're near neighbours. Now, the way the things are set up in Offaly is a little bit different than Kildare, Clem, because in many respects, you could say that Clonbillogue are maybe an intermediate team, because Offaly have a senior B, and then a junior, you know what I mean? And their senior B is really like the bottom half of the Kildare senior championship teams. Say the 16 teams in Kildare, there's only 8 teams in the senior in Offaly. But the next 8, which are really the same as Kildare's bottom 8 of the senior, if you get me drift. So they might be a little bit stronger than a junior team than what you'd be expecting. But having said that, you have to give full credit to Kilcullen, full credit to Moggy and all the players. I mean, don't forget, it's not that long ago they lost a relegation match in the intermediate to go down junior back then and won the junior championship, and now to find themselves in the Leinster final. It's a really fairy tale, really.
All right, in terms of that, we'll have full coverage of that game. But Tommy, just a word on Kilcullen in terms of who, they'll be relying on everybody, of course. It's just an old cliche. But in terms of key personnel for them tomorrow and that key approach.
They have a hell of a good goalkeeper in Cormac Barker. Cormac is a young keeper. He's a very good kick of a dead ball as well. He often goes out and takes long range frees, and he's a good footballer. The full back line is good. Franz Sharp, very experienced. Captain Jack Doody's in there in the corner. I mean, the whole way through, I mean, they're a decent midfield. Darren Barker has a sweet left foot, as you'll find, and he's liable to pop up at any stage with a couple of scores. Up front then, listen, they have more than a couple of decent forwards, you know. I mean, Kieran O'Brien is playing out of his skin, probably playing the best football of his career. And he's definitely the one to watch, as far as I'd be concerned, from Kilcullen. He's playing well, he's scoring well, his confidence is up. And if he gets enough of the ball, he will put it away. Dave Marshall, a decent player, a very decent player. Look at Seamus Pembroke, is the lad we haven't seen much of since the county final. And he had a very, very good man of the match in that game, actually. But overall, I think Kilcullen did have a weakness, was that they're inclined to lose concentration during the game. They seem to have kind of remedied that in the last two matches. And keeping the concentration, and I'm sure that's one of the things that Brian McGrogan will really be hammering at them. You have to go for 60 minutes plus. And to do that, they're going to be very close to winning the Leinster title, which will be absolutely brilliant for them.
Brilliant indeed. We'll have full commentary of that match tomorrow. It gets underway at 1 o'clock in St. Connolly's Park. Our commentary team, Ger McNally and Seamus Dillon, who has covered all the Kilcullen games so far in the Championship. And our commentary coverage tomorrow is in association with Nolan's Craft Butcher since 1886 there in Kilcullen, and they're proud sponsors of the Kilcullen team as well. Right, tenace then, Tommy, on to a Sunday's Leinster final at 1 o'clock in St. Connolly's. It's a Leinster intermediate final against Glenbryne of Wexford. In your edition of the Leinster Leader, Tommy, after the quarter-final win over Glenmore, you described it, Richard Cummins' report described it as wonderful, wonderful nace. Gallagher, the penalty save hero, and on another page, an important stepping stone in terms of development, said manager Tom Mullally. Here's the manager indeed speaking on that occasion.
I'm delighted for the players, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've applied themselves, put themselves about, and got on with the job today as such. There was no pulling back from things as such. I mean, and stuff like that, like, you're playing a serious team, like, you're playing intermediate champions in Kilkenny. I mean, they're playing senior next year, and like, these are all learning curves and stepping stones and stuff like that, and for us today was a stepping stone as well. I mean, we wanted to get to a Leinster final, yes, we had the hunger to get there, yes, we did, yeah. I'm just glad it's over, that's all I know. I mean, it's an important stepping stone in terms of development, in terms of pushing on, and also in terms of ambition. I mean, and stuff like that, like, I know the lads are playing football next weekend and we wish them the best of luck and stuff like that, but for today it was hurling. I mean, and it's a huge, huge day. Our panel is constantly changing, like, from the county final of 2020 we've lost three lads, you mean, and stuff like that. They've had to be replaced and put in. That's why all credit today goes to the players, I mean, and their application, and thankfully their desire was where we wanted it, like, you know.
Manager Tom Mullally, on that occasion he was playing against his native club of Glenmore in Kilkenny. On Sunday he's another interesting day, because as well as managing the Naas hurlers, he manages the Carlow hurlers, who will be in action against Kildare in the Keogh Cup at 4 o'clock in Netwatch Cullen Park. But Tommy, a big day for Naas. What a season the club has had. Focus now on the hurlers on Sunday, and again it'll be a very challenging task against a Wexford side that has a good tradition, Islegate Glenbryne.
Absolutely, Kim, absolutely. And it has been a marvellous year for Naas, and there's no doubt. Disappointing last weekend, all right, with the footballers. Just the injuries just caught up with them, really, in my opinion. I firmly believe that if they had their full strength team, they would have been a very, very lot closer than what they were, the way it turned out. But hopefully the hurlers are in full health. Hopefully they have an absolute full strength team. I haven't heard of any injuries. And then I think Naas hurlers are improving the whole time. And the match against Glenmore was something special. We saw a part of that a Naas team that day, a display that day that I don't think we've seen for a good while. The aggression that day was a joy to behold. They just did not let Glenmore settle. They stuck into them from the word go. And I remember there was a couple of Glenmore officials up in the press box, and they were kind of stunned that Naas were they're dominating again. Naas kind of bullied him. In many sense, Naas bullied Glenmore that day. They just would not let them settle down. And then that brilliant save by Cormac Gallagher in the second half, penalty save, that was vital. And I don't know, I really think that Naas have a really, really good chance. I think it would top off the year for them. To get to a Leinster final is great, but you want to win it. And Naas have been creeping, hurlers have been creeping week, year in, and now this could be the big stepping stone to get a Leinster title. Kildare only won one Leinster title, that was Arklock back in 2006. Selby were in two finals, back-to-back finals, lost to two of them, unfortunately. But now Naas have a chance to join Arklock as the second team from Kildare to win a Leinster Intermediate Hurling title.
And backed by key players who also represent the county.
Oh yeah, Clem, I mean, you look at Kildare hurlers are playing, as you said there, on Sunday evening at 4 o'clock. I mean, there's 12 of the Kildare panel are from Naas, so that'll give you the job that Naas, the Kildare hurlers will have later on on Sunday. But for Naas, I mean, 12 of them on the county panel, and all there on merit. You know, I mean, they have right from Cormac Gallagher all the way up to Shane Ryan. You have the two boys, of course. You have Brian Byrne and James Brooke. What a season for them boys. If ever lads needed a rest, they need it. But they'll give it all, and they'll be there and thereabouts again next Sunday. And Jack Sheridan on his day is a class act. And one of the best men to take a sideline call anywhere with any club or with any county. And look at Simon Lacey, a powerhouse in the middle of the field. Ross Kelly, full back, strong and determined. Richie Hogan at the back, number three. I thought Cahill Dowland had a great game last day out. He opened up brilliantly. Shane Ryan finished well. Overall, Naas are strong. They have a good start in 15. They have good players to come in. And I'd be very hopeful in Naas on Sunday now.